today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word. I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Give him some praise this morning, amen. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated, praise the Lord. I'm going to talk to you this morning a little bit about resting in the finished work of Christ. God wants you to be at rest today, amen. He doesn't want you to be agitated. He didn't want you to be full of fear. Holly was referring the election coming up, and people are mad and fearful and all this stuff going on. You know what? No, for the Christian, we are at rest. We have confidence in God, that God's going to take care of us, and everything's going to work according to his will. Amen. And I've got confidence in his word because his word is his will. So we can be at rest. You need to go out and exercise your right to vote, but you need to be at rest in your mind and heart. Confidence is defined as trusting or relying fully in someone or something, and reaching this point is very important in our spiritual growth. God wants you to be a confident believer, because a confident believer is a restful believer. Amen. I am confident in the laws of lift, or I would never get into a plane. But I know there's a law of lift, and if that engine goes right and everything works right and those wings are attached properly and everything's there, that plane's going to get off the ground. It has to, because of the law of lift, like the law of gravity. You get on the building and jump off, you're going to get hurt and you're going to fall unless you have a parachute, and it won't open with that distance. So you are going to get hurt. But there's a law of lift. There's a law of gravity. Amen. There's a law of faith. And God wants you to be confident in what he's done in the finished work of Jesus. You can be at rest because he is seated today. And the Bible says that you and I are seated together with him in heavenly places. Your position is not one of standing, running, but your position is a position of a believer at rest. Hallelujah. There is no greater place to be when you have that confidence in that finished work. And so many people don't have that confidence today. Amen. And you know, I hear the phrase all the time, I believe. I believe, I believe. But you know, there's actually should be evidence of whether or not we really believe. Saying this while carrying stress, care, and worry indicates an unbelief. I believe, oh Lord, what are we going to do? I believe, oh God, what am I going to do about that? Oh, I believe, hello? Come on, somebody. Amen. It indicates really not your belief, but your unbelief. Amen. God wants you to cast all your cares on him. The Bible says Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everyone, because you know why? There are those that are at complete rest in that finished work and have the confidence of Christ in them. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then Peter says, throw all your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. And that word is distractions. And the number one goal of the enemy is to get you distracted off of what God has already done for you and his finished work, that you are forgiven completely yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that God is the restorer of your health, the restorer of your finances, and the restorer of your peace today. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen, amen, amen. So I'm going to give you some practical strategies this morning for developing trust, rest, and complete confidence in God. All right, you ready for this? All right, here we go. Number one, write this down. You need to renew your mind. You need to renew your mind. Don't be a schizophrenic believer. Here, there, everywhere. You need to be solid, founded in the Word of God. And you need to renew your mind, amen, to what God has done and said about you. You know, what you're sitting under and what you're listening to and what you're hearing can pull you back into a situation of distress, of condemnation, of fear, of bondage. And the Bible says God has not given us that spirit of fear. Amen. He doesn't call us back into bondage. He calls us into liberty and freedom and grace. But if you continue to listen to people and to teachers that are teaching a mixture of grace and law, that law is so appealing to the flesh that your thinking will become eroded and you'll go back into this condemnation of works and guilt and fear. And God has delivered you from that and doesn't want you there. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's look at this. You know this verse. I can quote this verse. This is probably one of my, if I had a scripture to stand on and to say and give a remedy for Christian health, this would be the remedy for Christian health, not only psychologically, but physically, spiritually. This is a remedy. This is what believers need to attain to and do. And listen, this is just not a one-time thing. This is an ongoing process. Your brain is a terrible thing to waste. Amen. And it's an ongoing process of renewing that mind, because Satan's goal and objective is to not only blind our minds, blind our eyes, keep us in confusion, keep us in a state of fear, and he does that through the power of suggestion, and we buy into this stuff. When we get up in the morning and we don't feel good, we buy into that. You got to renew your mind quickly to what God's word said. Now, you got to have some word in you to know what it said. If you don't have it in you, you don't know what it says, and you can't renew your mind, and, you know, it just adds more confusion. So that's why it's so important to have this solid, complete foundation in the finished work of Jesus. He took care of it. By his stripes, you are healed. You're not trying to get healed. You're the healed maintaining what you got. Amen. Thank God I've got it. It's there. Praise God. You know, temptation, there's temptations come in every form. A lot of people, when you think of temptation, you just think of lust, of after sexual desires or something like that. But there's temptation in every form that he presents to us. And that temptation starts with a thought. If you don't think it, you won't do it. You won't act on it. So if you're having problems in an area of your life, you know what? You're thinking about it all the time. You're allowing your mind to dwell on that. That's why the Bible says in Corinthians to cast down those strongholds. Don't let them be a stronghold in your mind. Cast down those thoughts, those imaginations. Line everything up with God's word. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, because your body now is not yours. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. This building's not the temple. A lot of people say, well, look at that church over there, and they point at a building. No, you are the temple. Amen. He dwells in you today. He's right there with you. Praise God, in your spirit. Hallelujah. Full of Jesus today. Full of forgiveness. Full of power. Full of anointing. Look who you are in Christ today. Amen. Full of the blood of Christ. Forgiven, delivered, set free. Hallelujah. Woo! That's who I am. Well, Pastor, I don't know. Devil's been on my back all week. Take off the saddle. Don't let him ride you. Amen. Start knowing the true identity of who you are in Christ today. You're more than a conqueror, more than able. Hallelujah. Man, we get so intimidated by his thoughts, by other people, their thoughts. Who cares what somebody else thinks about you when you know what God thinks about you? Who cares what someone else says about you when you know what God says about you? You are too worried thinking about what somebody else may think about you instead of understanding what God really thinks about you. You get all depressed when somebody looks at you cross-eyed and said, oh, my God, what are they thinking about me? Is it my dress? Is it my hair? Is it my jeans? Is it what I'm? Lord, help me. Who cares? God thinks you're lovely. God thinks you're beautiful. God thinks you're altogether his beloved. He is so in love with you today. He doesn't care if your hair's messed up, if your dress is wrinkled. He says, man, that is my child. I love them today. They are beautiful. Present your bodies by the mercies of God. as a living sacrifice. You know that when we came into Christ, we died. Paul says, I die daily. That was talking about persecution. It wasn't talking about his, he was talking about his daily walk, that he was being persecuted. But when we come into Christ, we are dead. Our old man has dead, has passed away. We have a brand new identity, and part of discovering that is renewing the mind to what God has said we are, who we are, what we're able to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. By the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness now is your state in your spirit. That's who you are now. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are holy in your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. It's just like Jesus. Amen. You know, people are trying to get holy and don't realize they already have holiness. It's there. It's not in your dress, in your makeup. Man, people used to beat up women all the time. Makeup looks good on a lot of people. Thank God for makeup. I think God created it. Amen. Use it. Praise God, please. Amen. Hallelujah, man. But beat you up, you know. And guys, I remember, you know, I got a picture I found when I was in college. My hair was down to here. And, you know, man, I was just cool. I was just the epitome of a Jesus-filled hippie, man. And I was in Christian college. I remember seeing a group, and, you know, the instructor, Phil Barker, who I just, you know, rekindled a relationship with after all these years, and he found me on Facebook, and, you know, man, we just, it was just awesome. And he was our music instructor. And he was sitting in the front row, and back there we'd go in these churches, and we'd sing, and, you know, my hair was my glory, you know. And he'd sit there in the front row, and he kept saying, push it back over your ears, push it, like it was going to help, you know, like, you know, it's still real long, you know, but that's what they do, because long hair back, if you were a guy in church, you weren't saved if you had long hair. And if you're a woman that wore a dress above your knees, you certainly weren't saved. You had to look pathetic and pitiful and homely and prune face, and then you were saved. You were not only saved, you were sanctified. And we put so much emphasis on dress and not on the heart. It's the heart. It's the hidden heart that God cares about. Amen. And in your spirit, you're perfect. And then Paul went on to say here in this second verse of Romans chapter 2, he said, do what? Don't be conformed. Everybody wants to be conformed to this world, to fit in. Guys, you know what? The Bible says we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Peter said, we're a holy nation. We're without spot or blemish. Amen. Some places you will not fit in. You're not meant to fit in. You're meant to stand out. You're meant to stand out. You're meant to be different. In fact, they should be coming to you for the latest. We shouldn't have to be going to them for the latest. They should be coming to you and say, wow, what's so different about you? We want to pattern everything after the world. Hello? But we should be setting the example in every area of life, in our health, in our peace, in our wealth. They should be coming to you. In fact, you know what? The Bible says that we are to provoke Israel to jealousy because of the relationship that we have with God. Amen. It should, man, everywhere we go, we should just glow. But, you know, it's amazing how Christians want to chase the pattern of the world instead of accept the example of who we are in Christ, hold our head up high, be at peace, even in the midst of all this chaos going on. They're going to look at you and say, wow, there's something so different about you. What is it? And you just turn and say, man, it's just Jesus. What? Come on, somebody. You understand what I'm saying here? Praise God, when people look at you, there should be such a, wow, glow about you, such a peace about you, such a joy about you. And they're going, wow, I can't understand this. we got this election going on, and you're not huffing and puffing. You're not getting on Facebook and getting in fights and battles, and you just got peace going on and joy. And it's like, whoa, what's up with you, man? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed, man. You need to change the world and not let the world change you. Be a world changer, Creflo says. Be a world changer. Amen. Be a life changer. Set some patterns in your life. Set some examples. You know, have a spirit of excellence about you. There's so many people that don't have that spirit of excellence, and I believe that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's desire of this world. He has a spirit of excellence. God has excellence in you and a spirit of excellence in you. Turn to somebody and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I've got excellence in me. I have the spirit of excellence. Whatever I put my hand to prospers because I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit within me. I'm set apart. I'm different. I'm totally forgiven. I don't receive condemnation from anyone. I am not inferior. Some of you just feel inferior around people, you know? People are going to have a way of intimidating you. I work in the car business, and there's egos in the car business bigger than Donald Trump. He's got a pretty big ego. Hello? I mean, big egos, huge egos. And these guys, they're good at trying to intimidate. You know what? I laugh, man. I sit over there and say, yeah. You know? Don't be intimidated. So don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Transform. Metamorphosis. The butterfly. The ugly caterpillar becoming the beautiful butterfly. Anybody ever watch what was that, Bug's Life? You have to have kids, man. Kids growing up. I can't wait for my grandkids. I pray you have a bundle of them. Come on, girls. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's what happens. When we become a Christian, our mind has to be renewed because it's been programmed. It's like a computer, junk in, junk out, junk in, junk out. And you've had junk in for many years. Amen. I mean, because in your mind as a child, you know, you're developed in that area. And what your mama told you and your grandma told you and your daddy told you and your auntie told you and your uncle told you and your big brother told you and your little sister told you and all this stuff is forming who you are, your thought process and your philosophy of life. And so when we come to Christ, we carry that with us and we can carry it through our Christian life unless we're allowing the word to impact our mind and change it and line it up with now who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so when we allow that to come in and we allow the world to make that change or we allow the word to make that change, then fear goes out of our life. Peace comes into our heart. We are able to conquer things because we know our mind is fixed on that word. Amen. We know what God says in his word, and therefore it produces peace in our life, and it changes our habits. Hello? It changes what we believe. It changes our philosophy. It changes everything. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Point number one. I've got several more to go. But it's true, guys. So many Christians, we don't do that. And it's not, we think renewing the mind is, oh, I come to church and I change my mind, I renew it, and then I leave. And then something comes up in the week and we accept what comes up into our mind instead of stopping right there and getting that word out of our mouth and saying, no, this is who I am, this is what my identity is, and this is what I say and confess over my mind. It is good, Faith. I'm preaching. When we do this, we exchange our own thoughts, ideas, and opinions for God's. When we do this, we change our own thoughts, ideas, and opinions to God's opinion, ideas, and thoughts. This is not a one-time event, but a lifetime process. Second thing we do is Hebrews 10:23. Put this up in the New American Standard. Hebrews 10:23. How do we have rest in our heart? One of the biggest purposes of rest is that you are at ease and that you just go through life, amen, with this total peace, amen. Here's another way we do it. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. How? For he who has promised is what? Faithful. Even if we constantly hear someone else declare something, we do not internalize it until we say it ourselves. Speaking God's word helps us believe his word. Speaking God's word helps us believe his word. Confession should be an everyday part of your life. When you get up in the morning and throughout the day, you need to get some scriptures in your heart and mind that you can quote them out and you know what your confession is. One of the greatest ways to start your confession is Psalm 91, the one that Holly did this morning. What a great one. Psalm 1, amen, a great one. Psalm 23, some of the Psalms are some great confessions that you can have as your arsenal against the enemy. When the enemy attacked Jesus, he didn't turn around and quote him the TV guide. When he came to him, his powerful weapon, if Jesus used the word, don't you think we should too? He said, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." And then he confessed what was written. It's not enough just to say, "Get behind me." You got to open your mouth and you got to confess it out of your mouth. That's why God gave you a speaker, a tongue to talk. Confession is very important. Speaking God's word over your life, over your business, over your family, over your health, over your finances. Speak the word. Release the seed. Amen. Release it. Let it grow. Let it go. Speak it out. Confess it boldly. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, "Did you get that?" Joshua 1:8. What else would we do with that word? We meditate on the word. We chew it like a cow chews a cud, swallows it, and brings it up again. Chews it a little bit more. Amen? Just meditating on that word. Just, you know, getting into that word and let that word just soak in us, man. We're just getting all the good stuff out of it. I love things cooked in the crock pot because all the goodness comes out of it. Man, when Holly got some chili on it, it smells the whole house. Chili's one of my favorite foods. Anybody like chili besides Pastor? Man, in the wintertime, there's nothing like a crock pot full of chili or pinto beans and cornbread. Nothing like that either, man. Man, I can make a staple diet off of those two, right? I mean, hey, man, I mean, that's awesome. Man, it smells so good because it just, you know, it cooks and simmers in there. And that's the way we should be with the word. Listen to this Old Testament scripture. "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way," what? "Prosperous, and then you will," what? "Have good success." What happens is when we're confessing this word, when we're changing our mind, when we're renewing it to God's word, what happens is all soul stuff going on. It's stuff that's already in our spirit, but what happened, our soul is prospering. How do we prosper the soul? You prosper the soul by renewing and confessing the word of God. I'm going to give you another way to prosper the soul here in a second. But by renewing your mind to God's word, by confessing the word, by meditating on the word, you're becoming to be a prosperous soul. And the Bible says, as your soul prospers, guess what? So does your what? Everything. Health, finances, everything. Everything, because your soul is lining itself up with the word of God. And when the soul lines up with the word of God, look out. Woo! Hey, Jude 1:20. Oh, confess means to meditate, ponder, roll it over, get it in your mind, speak it to yourself. When you're waking up in the middle of the night, start confessing the word of God. Fear comes up on you, start confessing the word of God. Whatever it is, start confessing the word of God. Wherever you're attacked, start confessing the word of God and meditate on it. Hey, Jude. Hey, Jude. Don't make a sad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to. And then you can start to make it better, 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 better. Wow! Hey, Jude! Man, I know where you guys have been, right? Come on, y'all got some old rock and rollers in here. Got some soul people in here, right? Man, listen, I love this scripture. But you, beloved, you know, back up one verse there. Can we do this? Because a lot of times we don't. Back up another one. Can we do that? How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time. Aren't we living that time? Who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual people. And a lot of times you think that is just sexual, but sensual is living in the soulish realm. Living in the soulish realm. You know, that's where so many Christians live. Living in that emotional state, living in that soulish realm, living in their feelings, get my feelings hurt. You know, we're talking about offense, and I think it was John Bevere that came out with a book years ago called The Bait of Satan. And it was all about offense. And he says, basically, the whole thing of that theme of the book, if you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's a great book. Get it. Because the whole thing is, Satan sets you up to take offense, and you take the bait. And when you take the bait, you're in the trap. Folks, you got to release things. You can't just hold on to stuff. That is your old flesh and your old nature. Somebody offends you, immediately forgive them and release it and go on and forget about it and love them anyway in spite of themselves. In spite of how stupid they act, in spite of what they said, in spite of if they gave you cross eyes. I dated a girl one time with blue eyes. One blue this way, one blue that way. I'm sorry, that's terrible, right? Oh, come on, somebody laugh about that. You had to, right? So even if you have cross-eyed, laugh about it. I mean, you know what? God's good. He loves you anyway. Praise God. Amen. All right, enough said about that, right? But this is true. Who causes division, not having the Spirit? Wow. Isn't that amazing? He says, not even having the Spirit. But this is what he says about us. Look at this. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. What? Praying in the Holy Spirit. You want to keep your soul refreshed? You want to keep your mind renewed? God has given you the gift of tongues and the Holy Spirit to pray in. It will relieve your stress. God's given that gift to us. Many people do not partake of that. They think it was something of yesterday. But you know what? The gifts of the church did not end with yesterday's church. If it did, then salvation, none of us would be saved, because salvation is a gift, the last time I read the Bible. For God so loved that he gave. And Paul had to, you know, approach the church at Corinth because they loved speaking in tongues when they all came together. And Paul said, you know, when you're in church, that's not the time to really do it unless there's an interpretation, because it's really important to have prophecy. Speaking under the utterance of the Holy Spirit in the common language is what prophecy is. Prophecy is not necessarily foretelling. Prophecy is doing what I'm doing right now, teaching the Word of God in the common language of the people, is prophesying. And Paul said, when you're in the church, it's better that you do that so that people can learn. And he said, if somebody came in from the outside and you're all speaking in tongues, wouldn't he think that you're mad? You're crazy. He said, you know, he's an unbeliever. He doesn't need to be addressed that way. Now, if you have a tongue and have an interpretation, or you have a prophecy, then he is convinced and will believe. And then he gave instructions, and he said, you know, let it be by the most two, or at the most three, and that then ones that are setting by, let them have a discernment about that to see if it's from the Lord or not. Because not every prophecy and not every tongue and interpretation is from the Lord. When it brings judgment, fear, condemnation, it is not from God. If it's edifying, if it's uplifting, if it's revealing, it's good, it's from God. Because I've had some of the woe me's and the woe you's that I've had to sit down and shut up because it was not from God. And as pastor, I have a responsibility for the whole body of Christ, especially for if an unbeliever comes into the church, what do we want to do with the unbeliever? We want to introduce them to Jesus Christ and the hope of glory. Do we want them filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Do we want to see them speak in tongues? Absolutely. But there's times and places for instruction. Absolutely. Amen. Because really, most of the body of Christ is more concerned about themselves than they are unbelievers. And really, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, why am I saying it? The purpose of the Holy Spirit is for us to be witnesses to the world. It's not for spiritual entertainment. Thank you for your enthusiasm again. Most churches have used the Holy Spirit as a form of entertainment instead of really to impact the world and make a difference in the lives of people. And the whole gospel message and the whole reason the church is here is to be the light of the world. It's to take that and be a witness to those that are lost. It's to see those that don't know Jesus to find Jesus. That's why we're here. We want to see people's lives changed by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Do we receive from that? Yes, amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Do we receive when we come to the body of Christ as believers? Certainly we do. We are at the Lord's table. We partake as the word goes forth. We receive it into our hearts, our minds. We're changed. We're renewed. Amen. We have fun. We have fellowship. But the whole central purpose of the church getting together is not only for teaching, but to impact someone that doesn't know Jesus, to see their life changed, that they may come out of a distressed situation, maybe lost and hopeless, and they walk into a door of the church, and they're all entertained by themselves and what's going on, and are oblivious to somebody that's hurting and needs God. And many churches are sitting right next to them, but they're all, wee, 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 wee. This is great. And there's nothing wrong with worship. Love to worship. But we need to be conscious and full of wisdom. Jesus said, what? Be wise as serpents? You've got to be conscious of people that are around us, especially in corporate worship. That's why Paul wrote them and says, hey, guys. He said, they're even rushing to take communion, getting ahead of one another. I want to get up there and get that first, man. I'm hungry today. I want me some of that bread and some of that wine, man. Give me some of that. And Paul had to write him and said, man, hey, don't you have houses to eat in? You guys, what you guys doing here? He had to write him because they were all coming together just to speak in tongues. Let's just all get together. Everybody was doing it. Paul had to say, what are you guys doing? If somebody walks in from the outside, won't they think you're mad? They're going to turn around and walk back out. We want to impact the world for Jesus Christ. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to impact the world. Well, pastor, what do I pray in tongues? Well, you can pray in church. You can pray in the Spirit, but you can pray softly. I pray you do. Hello? But really, God gave us that as our private prayer language for us to be in joy, to have communion with the Lord, for Him to reveal in our hearts, for Him to give us revelation in our prayer language. When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. It is a language the enemy cannot understand. Amen. And when you're in your car, and you know, you can pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. When you're at home, you can pray in the Spirit. Man, it's a wonderful gift, and you need to do it because the Bible says it builds up your most holy faith. If you haven't experienced, you need to experience it because it's a wonderful gift. Hallelujah. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit since I was 17 years old. Down in a little church basement in the corner. I said, I want this thing. I want what's going on. Man, I was so hungry for Jesus and, you know, didn't know anything. And I said, oh, God. You know, I saw him speaking in tongues. I said, I want this thing. Man, you know, they say it's the power. And it is. Amen. They said it's the power that's going to help you. It's going to, you know, and we didn't know anything. We were pretty ignorant back then as well. You know, but they laid hands on me, and all of a sudden, man, up out of my spirit came these words and syllables I'd never said before, and I kind of jumped back. They said, you know, you received it. You know, and I thought, no, I didn't. That's the first thing the enemy told me. No, you didn't. That was just you. And then somebody said, of course it's you. You know? Wow. And I got some teaching and training, and then, you know, a few days later, I was praying, and it came up again. Woo! And it came up again, and then I just realized, you know what? It's subject to me. The gifts are subject to us. Do you realize that? That's why when somebody's up under the anointing, like if Andrew was teaching here today, or anybody, including myself, or Arthur, or somebody else, people don't just jump up and speak in tongues and interrupt what God's doing here. That's why Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. But you know what? Praying in the Spirit is something you need to do. It will help your life. It will change your life. It will renew your mind. It will refresh you. Isaiah said, this is the refreshing. Wherein the weary find rest. You want to find refreshing. Hallelujah. Man, go home today and just spend some time in His presence. Man, when I'm in those hotel rooms out there on that road, man, I just lay back in that bed, and I am so tired, the only thing I can do is speak in tongues. And He refreshes me. He refreshes me. I'm driving home last night, and I'm listening to the Cubs. Man, it almost made me speak in tongues. I was so excited. I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Cubs won last night, guys. Man, I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. All right, y'all still here this morning? I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I'm just kind of, you know, floating down here. So I stayed out the last night to 1 o'clock and drove 7 hours, so I'm doing good. So y'all hang in there with me a few more. So this is refreshing. I really encourage you, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, to ask God to give you that prayer language. Amen. It's a gift. It's a wonderful gift. It will help you. Amen. It will encourage you during times and seasons of life. When you go through, the Bible says He's our comforter. Jesus said this. He says, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter cannot come. He says, boys, I'm leaving you a gift, a comforter. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then He said, listen, don't do anything. Don't teach, don't preach, don't do anything. He said, but what I want you to do is I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. They tarried. They got there. The early church in the upper room, day of Pentecost. Pentecost means harvest. It was a symbol of harvest. And all of a sudden they heard a sound like a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. They weren't even standing and carrying. They were sitting just like you were. Filled all the house where they were sitting, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set on each of them. Wow. And they are all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. The Spirit gives you the utterance. He helps you. He assists you. He said, the devout men from everywhere in the city were around, and they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God in their own language. These were foreigners, and they heard them speaking in tongue and praising God. And Peter got up and said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last day, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions. I'm still young because I'm dreaming dreams. And upon my handmaidens and servants, I will pour out my Spirit. We got any handmaidens, got any service in here? He said, I'm going to do that in the last day. Well, that was for them, you know. No, over in Acts, I think, 19, when Paul was in Ephesus, he came about some certain disciples, the Bible says. What's a disciple? A disciple is a believer, right? How many know a disciple is a believer? And he asked them, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard there's any such thing as the Holy Ghost. Then he said, well, who were you baptized under? This is a little... You know, some people believe in baptizing under the name of Jesus only. This is a little word for them. He said, who are you baptized under? Because they said, well, we were baptized under John's baptism. Well, John baptized. Of course he did. John the Baptist, he baptized unto repentance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul asked them that because if they would have been baptized under Christ's baptism, they would have heard Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? Hello? And so, you know, he baptized them, and the Bible says that the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon them, and he heard them speak with tongues and prophesy. Wow. These were already believers, already people that were saved, born again, had the Holy Spirit in them. You know, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. In fact, you're full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you're born again, you are full of the Holy Spirit. If you never spoke in tongues, I'm going to tell you right now, you're full of the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? You're full of the Holy Spirit. Some people get hung up on that. You know, no, I'm not hung up on that. You're saved, full of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I'm going to close right here. But listen to me. There's a difference between being full and being baptized. We could say that baptistry is full of water. And it's a baptistry. And you could go in it, and then you're going to be submerged or baptized in the water. It's like taking a big glass picture and you have a picture that's full of water. You take another glass that's full and you put it in that big glass and it's baptized. And that's why he's saying, I want to just immerse you with the Holy Spirit. Give you power from on high. Amen. Power to tread over the enemy. Nope, nothing by any means shall harm you. Wow. Folks, that is such a rest and a comfort to know that we have the Holy Spirit, the God of this universe, living within us today. Amen? He's living within you. Stand this morning. Praise God. He's awesome. Amen. You are loved today. Praise God. Lift up your hands this morning. Amen. Lift them up on high. Praise God. You have the Spirit within you this morning. Rejoice. Praise God. You're baptized in the Spirit. Rejoice. If you're not, you can receive right there with your hands lifted up. Amen. God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit today. You got to open your mouth and just say, thank you, Lord. Amen. I praise you for that gift, and I receive it today. You need to receive it. If you don't know Christ today, I want to tell you, you are so deeply loved this morning. Amen. He wants to come into your life. He loves you so very much today. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you today. Amen. Confess with me this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for your gift of refreshing Jesus, the greatest gift. Thank you. I receive him today into my life, into my heart, into my mind. My life and mind are being renewed today. I'm changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, today I am totally forgiven, totally set free, totally loved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that I proclaim out of my mouth today. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues today, the refreshing that you promised me, the comforter. I receive him today. Amen. I walk in him. In Jesus' name, I am full of the anointing, the power, the overcoming power. My mind's being renewed. My heart's being changed. I am a different being. I am brand new in Jesus today. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. If you prayed the prayer first time, we've got some material back there for you. Love for you to take with you. We've got some material actually on the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well and healing. Several things back there you can receive. Read it, you know, understand it. God will bless you. I love you guys today. Say hi to six people before you leave out of here this morning. Amen. Praise God. Your love today.